What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
Please, sir, all I need is 5 minutes.
And I told you, Campbell, no more paranoid on-air rants about the supernatural.
I know. This station is about sex, violence, and the weather.
Yes, that reminds me. We're gonna need that porn star shot dead in a hurricane story. 1 hour.
All right, first things first, I just need to apologize to the listeners if you were expecting something to drop Monday at noon, as we always advertise. I dropped the ball a little bit, piss poor planning on my part, so we were doing this episode late. So I apologize, but it is here, and I'm promising it's going to be a good one. So.
Indeed.
And this being a weekly episode, you know, I'm going to start off with the news this week for movie news. Top 5 movies at the box office for the week of November 19th, according to thenumbers.com, are, first, last week I reported that according to thenumbers.com, Ghostbusters Aftermath should easily win at the box office this weekend. So that would be past weekend. Becoming the first film in the franchise to do so since Ghostbusters 2 back in 1989. Do you think their prediction was correct?
Oh, yeah.
You and thenumbers.com would be correct because Ghostbusters Afterlife takes the top spot at the box office in its first week, bringing in $63.3 million. So, good prediction. That drops Walt Disney's Motion Pictures Internals to the number 2 spot in its third week with a current box office gross of $142.8 million. Walt Disney's Encanto in its first week brought in $13.3 million to secure the number 3 spot for the week and is followed by Clifford the Big Red Dog in the fourth spot. Rounding out the top 5 is King Richard in its first week bringing in $8 million. Typically, I just read the top 5, but I do have a few other things that I want to mention in the top 10, so here we go. Dune fell 3 spots to number 7, followed by No Time to Die and Venom, Let There Be Carnage. But here's what I really wanted to get to. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, just barely made it into the top 10, bringing in $3.5 million in its first week for Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures, however, is not doing so bad with 3 of the top 10 movies being theirs for this week. Ghostbusters, Venom, and Resident Evil are all Sony Pictures. And then the other 2 releases that we reviewed are managing to still hang on in the top 20. Antlers is at 15 and Halloween Kills at 17. So they're still slowly bringing in money each week. As for the worldwide box office, F9 The Fast Saga has bumped to number 4 by the James Bond No Time to Die movie. So the Fast and the Furious was riding on a high there for quite some time in the number 3 spot, but No Time to Die bumped it down 1. I reported that the top 3 most anticipated movies last week... I reported what the top 3 most anticipated movies were, and I think I'm going to continue to make that a trend for us. Last week, Resident Evil and Encanto were 2 of the 3, and they both made the top 5 at the box office this week, so let's see if that kind of trend continues. But first, I want to ask you if there are any movies that you're anticipating the release of in the next couple months or two.
No, I haven't really been watching TV to see any previews.
A lot of Sea of Thieves playing, not any movies on there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, besides me doing the research for this, I watch a lot of YouTube, and there are trailers and stuff on YouTube, obviously. So I kind of know a few things. But personally, I mentioned it last week, Morbius is one that I'm really looking forward to, as well as another January release, which I vote that we do a bonus episode for, which is Scream. It's set to release January 14th. So those are two of my personal most anticipated. But according to thenumbers.com, the current most anticipated movies are January's releases of Spider-Man No Way Home. It was last week's number one. It's number one again this week. Followed by The Matrix Resurrections, and then a movie called Wolf. Those are the three most anticipated, most talked about upcoming releases. So I've even heard a lot of people talking about how the Spider-Man movie is probably going to outdo Avengers Endgame, which I think is the number one highest bringer of box office all time, if I'm correct. So the Spider-Man one is pretty anticipated. I know you're not a big Spider-Man guy. I actually offline tried to talk to Corey because, you know, he's going to be up here the 17th, and that's when it drops. I wanted to see if maybe he would go with me and we could do a Two Brothers in Review thing since you're going to be in West Virginia snowboarding and whatnot. But unfortunately, he already has plans with his boys down in Florida when he gets back to go see it. So that won't be happening, but we're still in the works. We're going to try to make something happen. So be on the lookout for that. But that is all I've got for this week in movie news. If there's anything that you want to share, go ahead and share it now.
Oh, no. No, I don't have anything for movie news.
All right. Let's do this review.
Let's get it.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Mister, my family will pay cash. Whatever ransom you're asking for, they'll pay it.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Yes, you will, precious. You will get the hose.
This week we've got Silence of the Lambs. The Silence of the Lambs is a 1991 American psychological horror film directed by Jonathan Demme. I think is how you spell his name, or pronounce his name, D-E-M-M-E, and written by Ted Talley. The movie is adapted from Thomas Harris's 1988 novel and stars Jodie Foster, Ted Levine, and Anthony Hopkins. Want to read the back of the case for me there?
Yeah, FBI agent Clarice Starling, a.k.a. Jodie Foster, is sent to interview imprisoned killer Dr. Hannibal, the Cannibal Lecter, Anthony Hopkins. She hopes he might reveal information about another crazed killer known only as Buffalo Bill, who is abducting young women, starving them, and then killing them. Lecter's brilliant mind is intrigued by the beautiful Starling, and he begins giving her mystifying clues which could be helpful or merely a game. The terror builds as Buffalo Bill grabs another victim, and the countdown to death begins again. Finding the madman means Sterling must get inside Lecter's mind to stop the killer. She must enter a terrifying race against death. The movie is actually rated R, and the runtime is 118 suspenseful minutes.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs grossed $272.7 million worldwide with a budget of $19
million. Nice. Principal photography began on November 15th of 1989 in and around Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with some scenes being filmed in northern West Virginia. I don't know if part of it was filmed in Ohio or not. I know it was set in Ohio, but I don't know if it was actually filmed in Ohio. From what I've seen, it's just Pennsylvania and West Virginia. In what was a rare act of cooperation, however, at the time, the FBI allowed scenes to be filmed at the FBI Academy in Quantico, with some FBI staff members even acting in what's known as bit parts. So, that's pretty cool. There are a few possible shout-outs, so to speak, to notorious serial killer. Man, there are a few possible shout-outs, so to speak, to notorious serial killer. I still can't talk. Serial killers in this movie. For instance, the scene where Buffalo Bill acts as if he has an injured arm while trying to load the couch into his van, luring the women in, resembles what is said to have been done by Ted Bundy when he was using a sling on his arm trying to load something into his Volkswagen, or and sometimes his home, I guess. Another one could be the residence of Chicago serial killer John Wayne Gacy, as the home that the FBI busts into is in Chicago. Buffalo Bill's character could be based on serial killer Ed Gein, due to the references of making a woman's suit. Gein was known to wear the faces of the dead women he mutilated. I'm pretty big into serial killers, so that's why I wanted to mention this. this was also seen, talking about Ed Gein still, this was also seen in the movie when Dr. Hannibal Lecter used his victim's face as a disguise. Those could all be possible shout-outs, but I can't confirm that. A definite one, however, is the design for the basement and pit used by Buffalo Bill. It was inspired by Gary Michael Heidnik, a murderer who kidnapped, tortured, and raped six women, killing two of them while holding them captive in a pit in his basement in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that one is confirmed. It was, the basement was based on that. The other ones I just noticed, and I think they probably were callbacks, or not callbacks, but shout-outs. So, another known inspiration is with the previously mentioned serial killer Ted Bundy, as the Silence of the Lambs was inspired by the real-life relationship between University of Washington criminology professor and profiler Bob Keppel, and his relationship with Ted Bundy. Bundy helped Keppel investigate the Green River serial killers in Washington. Those are two that are confirmed. Silence of the Lambs became the third and last film, the other two being 1934's It Happened One Night and 1970's One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest, to win the Academy Awards in all major five categories: Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Adapted Screenplay. So, all five, it clean sweep won. It's only the third movie to ever do so. It is also the only Best Picture winner widely considered a horror film, and one of only six films to have been nominated in the category, with The Exorcist, Jaws, The Sixth Sense, Black Swan, and Get Out, which is another movie that we're going to review. But, yeah, so this was definitely a clean sweep when it came to
Awards,
yes.
Nice.
In crazy. Right. In preparation for his role, Sir Anthony Hopkins studied films of serial killers. Also, he visited prisons and studied convicted murderers, and was presented present during some of the court hearings concerning gruesome murderers and serial killings. I wonder if any of the actors or actresses, if any other actors or actresses go that in depth with, like, learning for their characters and whatnot. I mean, we're not to the opinions just yet, but it certainly paid off in this situation.
Yeah.
And he's definitely my kind of guy, investigating or trying to learn about serial killers and stuff. So, big ups, Anthony. James Gunn's dance was not included in the original draft of the screenplay, although it appears in the novel. It was added at the instance of Ted Levine, or Levine, however you say it, who plays James Gunn. He thought the scene was essential in defining the character. Personally, again, a good call on Mr. Levine's part, as it became one of the most iconic scenes of the film. You know, where he's dancing and then later does the tuck. Which, oddly enough, I had to use the restroom right after that, so when I came back in, I almost did that to my wife Erica, but I didn't. And that's all I've got for the facts. That I have to admit, I made you wait a little while because I just literally got done doing all the research for this. I was enjoying, like, more so than I normally do researching, because I was finding a lot of stuff that I thought was interesting, and just deciphering what I wanted to include and what I didn't. Because there's just so much about this movie, and I probably could have went on another, like, hour tirade of just different facts alone, so.
That's awesome.
I hope people enjoy the facts part, because I do put a lot of effort into it. And like I said, I enjoyed just trying to find these particular facts. So hopefully people like it. But what people really want is our opinion. Are you ready to give them our opinion?
Oh, yeah. I think they need it.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
All right, so the opinion section, something I picked up on, and then when doing the research, I came across a statement from the director. It's about how when the characters are talking to Starling, except for when Hannibal is intentionally looking away from her for like a few scenes, they seem to speak directly to the camera. But when she is talking to them, she is always looking slightly off camera. I noticed that, and I was wondering, like, if that was intentional. Director Jonathan, I'm going to call him DeMee. Director Jonathan DeMee is quoted as saying, "This was done so the audience would directly experience her point of view, but not theirs, hence encouraging the audience to more readily identify with her." So I don't know if you picked up on that or not, but if you ever watch it again, like, try to look, like, the characters, like, are looking like this when they're talking, but she's always like looking right there. So, yeah. And that was done intentionally. So just a little insight, there along with my opinion. Cause like I said, I picked up on it. I was wondering why they did that. So, another thing they used very creative and, sometimes subtle ways to add to like character development and shit. I really appreciate things like that. For instance, right after Catherine captures the dog Precious, we are shown the bed sheets that have like swastikas on them and shit. And then also I think there's a slight little scene where there's a picture frame or something slightly hidden. It's got a swastika on it. Just little things like that. Just like add character depth, and it doesn't necessarily need to be pointed out like with dialogue or direct scenes or anything. I appreciate when movies do that. I wouldn't say it's a rarity, but it's not all that common. So, is there anything small or is there anything about this movie that stood out for you? But actually, what is your opinion on the movie? I haven't even gotten a gist of what you thought.
I love the movie. It's definitely a psychological thriller of a movie. You know, like it makes you think. I like how they made it to where like Sterling was uncovering all the, I guess you'd call them riddles, from Lecter, and no one else could pick them up. Yeah. You know, I like stuff like that, like where it shows that, you know, she's just a trainee, but she's pretty fucking smart.
Yeah.
But something that stood out to me the most, I mean, the whole movie is just, like, there really isn't, like, it's all, the whole movie itself just stands out. Like, it's one of a kind, in my opinion. I mean, I can jump straight to favorite character, favorite scene, favorite quote, whatever you want.
Go for it. Let's go with favorite character.
My favorite character is Buffalo Bill.
Really? Okay. See, I was going to say, how can it not be Dr. Lecter? But okay. So give me reasons why your favorite character is Buffalo Bill. And for the listeners, if you're a first-time listener, me and Kyle are sick, twisted individuals. You just have to understand. We're going to pick the person that we probably shouldn't think is our favorite. But that's what we're going to do. All right, Kyle, why is Buffalo Bill your favorite character?
I just, for the movie, I mean, you know, like thinking strictly from movie, not for if that was a real person kind of thing. I like the character itself. Like I like James Gee or James Gum. He sold that role.
Okay.
You know, like it's just, I can't see anybody else that I could think would be good for that role. It's hard for me to watch this movie and not think of the Joe Dirt thing.
Parody? Gotcha.
Yeah, the parody they did on it, but it's definitely, I like, so when she's in there and she's, like, begging, she's, like, crying and she's, like, saying mommy, and it looks like he's, like, feeling sympathetic for her, which he is. He's starting to feel, like, sympathetic for her, and then she starts screaming, and he's, like, then he's, like, starts mocking her, like, ah! Like, I just thought it was fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, see, I like it when we think, like, when we talk and we're, like, this person, I think, could have been, like, a better role or whatever. But when we're, like, there's nobody else. Like, I don't know anything else that Ted Levine, I think is, let me double check. Yeah, Ted Levine. I can't think of anything else that he's in. I mean, maybe there's something and I just don't realize it's him. But just like you said, like, I can't think of someone that, I love, I'll just throw a name out there. I love Brad Pitt. I don't think Brad Pitt could have did a better job than Ted Levine did with Buffalo Bill. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm on the same page there, and I appreciate your answer, but I'm still going to stick with mine. My favorite character is Dr. Lecter, but I definitely understand what you're saying with Buffalo Bill. But I think Hannibal Lecter, which, by the way, Hannibal Lecter's actual on-screen time in this movie is only, I think, like 24 minutes. So he doesn't even have that much screen time, but when he is on screen, I'm focused in, I'm listening, I'm watching, yeah. Anthony Hopkins? Yeah.
real quick, back to Ted Levine, he is actually the police captain on Adrian Monk, on the show Monk.
Okay, I never watched the show, but okay.
So I did, and like that's one of those things where I keep like looking at him on the movie and thinking about stuff he did in the show, and I'm just like,
wow,
that's hilarious.
He's got some range then, right?
He's a serial killer on Silence of the Lambs, and he's the head of the police department on Monk, and yeah. Like he was able to play both ends of that spectrum very well.
So he's definitely got range. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then what about, you said, this is the first time that I've heard you say that you even have a favorite line. At least I think that you said favorite line. So what is your favorite line? Like, normally you got to think about it or whatever, but do you have one?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an iconic one. It's when the Band of Horses are playing and Buffalo Bill, he just goes, "Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me."
Oh, yes. Okay. Damn.
Just the way he delivered it it's always been, like, one of my favorite parts of that movie. That, and then, or when he's telling her to put the lotion in the basket, and then, like...
I thought that's what you were going to say. That's, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, "Just put the fucking lotion in the basket." Like, and it's fucking hilarious to me.
Okay. All right. Oh, I guess you're going to be the Buffalo Bill fanboy, and I'm going to be the Dr. Lecter fanboy, because my favorite line is when he first meets, when Clarice first meets him, and he says, "A census taker once tried to test me, and I ate his liver with some fava beans and an iced Chianti." I have never eaten fava beans. I don't even know what they are, to be perfectly honest, but he says it so eloquently, and almost as if it's a normal, like, normal thing to have with a human liver, that it almost sounds appetizing. So, yeah.
That's what they're talking about in the movie. There's a part where he rips off the person's ear or something like that, and his heartbeat never got over 85 or something like that.
That's actually referenced twice. When they're talking about that, and then later, which we're about to talk about because it's part of my favorite scene, but when he has the officer's face as a mask and he's laying there, the paramedic checking his heart rate or heartbeat or whatever, and it's just below 85 or something. So it just goes to show the character is supposed to be like this overwhelmingly calm individual in situations that you shouldn't be calm or so. Yeah, that goes back to the character depth. Like, that could have been left out. No one would have thought anything, but they included that. And maybe I'm not a big reader, so I haven't read the books, the novels. So maybe it might have been directly from the novel. But either or, that's, I think it's good little small subtle things to slide in there for character depth and everything, and I appreciate it. So, okay, so I just alluded to it. Favorite scene. I've kind of already given mine away, so I'll start with my favorite scene. Hannibal's entire escape scene, from when he picks his cuffs to when he takes the mask off in the ambulance, the human mask. The mannerisms of Hopkins as Dr. Lecter and the delivery of his dialogue, it just throughout the whole movie, it's outstanding, but that just sets it off for me, particularly that whole scene. And the gore obviously helps. and I just, there's one part of it where I feel like he's kind of like orchestrating or whatever still. I'm having a Mandela effect here because I know he was doing it right before. But after he gnaws the guy and he's got blood on his face and dripping down his all white prison uniform, he's kind of still, is he still orchestrating right then? Oh my God. That, I don't know. That just, that whole sequence from the whole escape, that's, I'm going to put that all lumping into my favorite scene. How about you?
That's mine.
Oh, same? Okay.
My favorite part of that scene is when they come in and they see the cop like draped up like an angel.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was just like amazing.
Okay. I guess if I had to take one particular part out of it, it would be like I just said, if that's truly the case, I feel like I need to watch it back because I think I'm mixing two parts that didn't actually happen, but you're saying it did, so maybe I'm correct. But yeah,
it's showing the one cop handcuffed with blood all over, and like it's showing like the paintings that he did of Sterling and stuff, and he's sitting there with his hand like.
And there's blood on. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now for the list, the viewers that once this is published, they're going to see me doing all of this, but the listeners are like, "What the fuck is going on right now?" So sorry, listeners. Go check out our YouTube. Okay, so we're on the same page with favorite scene. I thought you were going to go back to Buffalo Bill and talk about the lowering the bucket scene, or possibly even the dance scene. I thought that's what you were going to go with, but you're with me, which I understand that. All right, least favorite character.
Oh. You'll have to go first because I can't even think of
it. Okay. Dr. Frederick Chilton, the warden or whatever you want to call it, at the first prison Hannibal goes to, and he's also the person that Lecter is having over for dinner at the end of the movie. If you caught that,
I was going to say I'm going to have to change my favorite quote. It was he goes, "I love to stay in chat, but I'm having an old friend for dinner."
Yep. That's a good line as well. That's the very last piece of dialogue in the movie too. Yeah, so that douchebag, the moment that he showed up, his stupid fucking high haircut and pompous ass attitude, I didn't like him, and I'm happy to see that he is getting his, what is the phrase, just dessert? No, that's not right. Just forget it.
Dude, just.
Yeah, I was trying to make a reference to eating, though.
No.
But I terribly failed at that. So let's just move past this. I think it's just desserts. Isn't that what it is? I don't know. Okay.
I was going to say, you're just glad he's on the menu.
Yes, there you go. So, okay, so does that refresh your memory of least favorite character?
It is. It's that doctor. Just like his, actually, yeah, it's him. I didn't like the guy that threw his bodily fluids on
Miggs. I think his name's Miggs. Yeah,
it was a funny fucking scene. But like thinking of it, like, ugh, gross, you know, like.
Okay, all right, so you mentioned that, I completely forgot about this. When it happened, Erica had the same response as you. She like gagged or whatever. I was laughing, but immediately after she wipes it off of her face, did she go like this? I swear, she went like the, again, here the listeners have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'll try to describe it. She took it and she wiped the cum, because that's what it was, off of her face, right? It landed at the top, like, part of her head, ear, temple area, right? She wiped down with her hand, and I swear, in the same instance, she took it and wiped it across her lips. And I was like, did she just wipe the cum on her lips, Erica?
I didn't pay him to that.
I should have rewound it. This is the one time I didn't. I just kept watching the movie. But listeners, let us know. If you watch the movie, pay attention to that specific scene when Miggs throws the cum on Clarice. If she wipes it in her mouth, because I think she did. Jodie Foster, you nasty bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think Jodie Foster, I think all everybody's acting in this was excellent. Jodie Foster, Hannibal, Anthony Hopkins, and
Ted Levine.
I think they were the picture stealers, Like whenever they're on scene, they stole the picture.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I mention in the facts or whatever, people who auditioned for the role or were considered for the role or whatever, there were actually a lot of different people considered for Dr. Lecter and Clarice. I completely left all of that out because it's irrelevant. They went with the right choices. I'm not the biggest Jodie Foster fan, but in this movie I am. She is perfect Clarice, Hannibal Lecter, perfect Anthony Hopkins, and obviously you say Ted Levine is also... I agree. Perfect for Buffalo Bill. Real quickly, back to the least favorite character. Dr. Chilton is mine. But a close second, and this may sound... every episode, this is going to be a trope for me now, is trying to get us canceled. the close second would be Catherine, the girl in the hole. Because, again, with... I get it. She's captive. She's down in this hole. She wants to get out. I don't know. Just a little bit too whiny. She could have been a little bit less whiny. I don't know. But no, my least favorite character is Dr. Chilton. So we'll move on from that. I forgot the kill count again. I was trying to scramble to figure it out right before we logged on here. So I will try to update the list of kill count for all the movies that we've reviewed season 2 for an upcoming podcast.
I think there's like 5 or 6 people.
Well, I know there's at least 6, but I want to get the exact. I want to make sure I have it, you know, like,
yeah.
Even if I have to go back and watch the movie, I'll do it. That's fine. I'm going to do it with all of the ones that we were reviewing so I can keep a running kill count. But What other thoughts? We talked about favorite scene, favorite line, favorite character, least favorite character. Is there anything you don't like about the movie?
Not really. I mean, I feel like they did a good job of the backstory for each character. You know, just like I'm trying to think of like where else is like, oh, why they put that in, but there really isn't.
Okay. There's two things. If I was to complain about something, my only real complaint would be the officers went a little overboard with stacking in the hallway. Do you know what stacking is? Okay.
Oh, like yes, when they came into the auditorium.
Yeah, when they were going in when they were going into where his temporary cell was or whatever, they stacked up against the wall and on the other side of the wall and stuff. It almost looked like they were getting ready to break into a musical number. Just a little bit overboard. I personally can say this because I've had the training for stacking and entering, clearing is what it's called, and that was personally one of my favorite things to do in training. But my point is, they went a little overboard. That's not how it's done. Like I said, they look like they were getting ready to just break into a musical number, which would have killed the movie, so thank God they didn't. But nothing big. It only lasted a few seconds, but that's my only real complaint. And then also, I wouldn't say it's a complaint, but it's a question. Maybe you can answer it. How did Dr. Lecter get the pen?
Yeah, I wondered that too, but...
Okay. The camera obviously shows it, which trope, Chekhov's gun, but he's shackled. Are we just expected to believe that Dr. Chilton left it in there, and the other guards and whatnot didn't like clear the cell first? Yeah, little little, So that's, those would be my only things that I would, I guess, consider negative, but I can overlook both of them because the film was just phenomenal from start to end.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little bite on my back here.
We're actually both doing the same thing. That's really odd. all right, well, looking for... I've done this before. I've said continuity errors before. But looking for continuity errors sometimes, like, takes me out of the movie. So from now on, I'm not going to mention it unless it's, like, just, like, egregious. It's, like, glaring continuity error. With that said, I do have one for this movie. I don't want to bring the review down or anything, but I feel like I need to mention this. When Clarice is chasing Bill through the house, okay, Catherine, the one that's captive, screams, "I'm down here." Mm-hmm. Clarice never announced that never announced herself that she was there until after she heard her screaming.
Yeah.
So why was Catherine screaming, "I'm down here"? Was she screaming, "I'm down here" to Buffalo Bill? I mean, come on.
Shit, I don't know.
Like, they could have just had her screaming help, or just screaming in general. But specifically having her scream, "I'm down here," when there's no way of her knowing that Clarice was in the house, was a little off to me. So that, to me, is a continuity error. So that's one that I'm going to bring up. But other than that, I'm not bringing them up unless they're glaring like that.
The only thing that I could think of is, I mean, that bell was pretty damn loud.
Oh, the doorbell? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. We're circling back to you luring me again, because that's a good point. I didn't even think about the buzzer, which I love. Go ahead.
You said you loved?
No. Go ahead. Say what your statement was first.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, I think that might be why she was saying, "I'm down here," like, trying to yell to whoever was at the door.
Yeah, okay. I got it. You lured me. That's a good answer. I like it. Okay, so no continuity errors then. But what I was saying, again, with the way they filmed it, there's a word for it. The transitions, basically, with the ringing of the doorbell, because Clarice is outside of Bill's house, or not Bill, Gum's house, actual house. Meanwhile, in Chicago, the FBI is getting ready to break into where they think he actually is, but he's not, obviously.
Yeah.
So the doorbell ring, or the FBI agent ringing the doorbell, transitioning back to in the basement, the loud buzzer, bell, or whatever, and then back. I like how that was done. Again, there is a word for it, but I'm just going to go with transition. Good transitioning.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a name for that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like... I believe it's a trope, too, like...
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You know, like... like some kind of hat trick. Because, I mean, it makes you think that the cops are about to do that, and then... about to bust in and find him, and then it's like, oh, no, just kidding. Clarice. That's why he goes, Clarice.
Oh, speaking of Clarice again, so I don't know if we've talked about it. Yeah, we've talked about it on here before. The Mandela Effect. You remember what the Mandela Effect is?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things with the Mandela Effect is supposedly Lecter says, "Hello, Clarice." And everybody seems to remember that from this movie. I even was like, yeah, I think it's from that movie. But I couldn't remember it myself. What he says is, "Good evening, Clarice." Yeah. He never in this movie says, "Hello, Clarice." Did you think that he said, "Hello, Clarice"? Or did the version that you watched... Wait, did you watch the Prime like I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, never mind. The version was the same as mine then, but... Did you think it was "Hello, Clarice" as well?
It's "Good evening, Clarice," but somebody there was a parody where somebody was like, "Hello, Clarice."
Yeah.
Like, so that's why a lot of people always do the "Hello, Clarice" because of the parody.
But there's definitely people out there that believe that, just like Berenstain Bears and all the things, that it was previously Hello Clarice and it's been changed and stuff. So I just wanted to bring it up because I was actually listening to see if I ever heard Hello Clarice, and he never says it. So, all right. Well, you ready for tropes, or is there more you want to talk about this movie?
For the viewers, for the listeners, trope, there it is.
All right.
I'm wearing our trope, there it is shirt for you listeners out there.
Shouldn't have told him. Should have made him actually go subscribe and watch the YouTube channel that currently, as of right now, has nothing posted yet. All right, let's get it.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
First one I've got for Silence of the Lambs. I mentioned it earlier, but it is one of my favorite tropes. I do have many, let's be honest. But Chekhov's gun. Dr. Chilton warns Clarice not to leave anything in Hannibal Lecter's cell and mentions several objects, among them pins. Then the dumbass later leaves one there, which we've also already talked about. He later can't find it for when he's trying to sign that document. Hannibal Lecter is then seen with part of it in his hands, and he uses it to unlock his cuffs, allowing him to kill the guards. That's Chekhov's gun. Also, we see Bill's night vision goggles early in the movie, and they don't reappear until the end. So both of those are considered Chekhov's gun.
You know, I was thinking Chekhov's gun whenever the pen was, like, whenever he's, like, playing with it in his mouth, and then he leaves it on the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's like, oh, I'm looking for my pen, if you look at Hannibal Lecter, he's like, for the viewers, they can see, like, he's kind of, like, looking to the side, like, oh, shit. Did he find it? Did he realize that I have it? Like, you know, I thought it was cool how they did it. I just wish they would have shown us how the fuck he got it in his possession.
Right. I agree. Trope number two for the week. All men are perverts. Whether it's only in fiction or real life as well, it's kind of up for debate. But sometimes it seems that all men think with their penis. You can count on one hand the number of men who didn't hit on Clarice in the movie, or at least look at her with, like, enticement. Personally, not my taste, but to each their own. See what I did there? Taste. Hannibal Lecter. Okay, moving on. All men are perverts. All right. Alone with the Psycho. When simultaneously two parties figure out the truth, they never seem to be together, and one of them always seems to be in the presence of the psycho. Clarice gets a lead and ends up meeting Buffalo Bill. Meanwhile, seemingly the rest of the department is busting into the wrong house in Chicago. That's trope, alone with the psycho. The Chess Master. So, the chess master trope is a trope in which a character is considered a chess master and gets their name from the ability to manipulate events and people like pieces on a chess board. In Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter manages to both help Clarice to get Buffalo Bill and architect his own escape. Checkmate. He's the chess master. Consulting a convicted killer. All right. This trope occurs when in a story a serial killer or other dangerous violent criminal is on the loose and the detectives running the investigation can't get a break in the case before the perpetrator strikes again. Luckily, they have another serial killer already behind bars who they can consult with to get tips to catch the elusive criminal. The novel that The Silence of the Lambs is adapted from is actually the trope Namer, as in it's where the trope originated. So this trope is basically the premise of this movie. Consulting a convicted killer. That is the five of the week. Chekhov's gun. All men are perverts. Alone with the psycho. The chess master. And consulting a convicted killer. As always, if there are other tropes that the listeners, viewers, however you want to say it, Saul, make sure you message us on our Instagram, Two Bros in a Review, which we will replug after we give our Five Knives rating. So this was my number two on top 10 psychological thrillers. It was your number five. Neither of us, before we get to the rating, I just want to bring this up. Neither of us had it on the top 10 of all time.
Yeah, true.
But it's my number two and your number five. After watching it last night, before I give my rating, maybe I should save this for after my rating. Okay, I'm going to save it for after my rating, actually.
All right.
And we're going to let you go first. Give us your Five Knives rating.
All right, so I busted mine down into four categories.
Okay.
Instead of five, I did four. I did cinematography, acting, gore, and storyline.
Okay.
So for cinematography, I gave it a one. It was actually a 0.5, but then during the facts, you told me that they intentionally did the point of views to make it to everybody's looking directly at her and she's always looking at an angle.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to real quick. I love that the facts that I bring to the table has shaped your opinion in the last two reviews.
Yeah.
Like, the last review also, things that I said, it changed how you... So I love that. Just throwing it out there. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's something important. I mean, like, that's good to know. Like, if I was going into this not knowing that, and I noticed it like you did in the movie, I probably wouldn't have given it a score. It probably would have got a zero. But because the movie, you know, it's an older movie, and I'll get into the gore after, but like the everything they were able to do with just the camera work, I thought was good enough for a 0.5. And then knowing that they purposely did something for the cinematography for the audience, that gave it another half a point. So cinematography, I gave it a one.
Fair. Okay.
For acting, I that one all along was going to be a one. I could have given it a two, but I was I had to give it a one. A solid one is a solid score in my book. You know what I mean? Like, the acting in the movie, I thought was good. It was great, really. I wouldn't say phenomenal because of, you know, the doctor, not Lecter, but the
Chilton,
his boss. Yeah. And
his boss,
the girl in the hole. That's what I'm just going to call it, Catherine.
Okay.
I liked her when she was in her car singing. I thought that, you know, like, that added character to her. So, like, that part of the acting, like, helps out in the movie. So I give acting a one. So I'm at a two. Gore, for the time of this movie to where we are now, I think that they were ahead of their time with their gore. And with the way the blood looked on his face, all over his, like, mouth and on his shirt, the way the guy looked, like, hanging from the fucking ceiling, which I don't know how he had enough time to get the dude up there on the rafters and hang him up and shit, but I thought it was cool. I gave Gore a two.
Cool.
Because thinking of when this movie came out and what people can do with Gore now, I feel like they were just ahead of their time. Like, you know, okay, if they were to remake this movie, it would probably be even crazier.
Oh, yeah. Rob Zombie. What?
Yeah. And my final pick for it would be, for the movie, would be storyline. Well, it's a good fucking storyline. Like I said at the beginning, it was kind of like a one of a kind. You know, it was, you just said it in the trope section, getting another serial killer to help you find a current serial killer. Like, who would have thought, you know? So I think that gives it... So I put two, so that would have actually given it a six in my book, but I'll give it a one just because, you know... how about this? Gore's 1.5, storyline's 1.5.
Okay.
So it's going to be a five.
Evens out to a five, okay.
Five bloody knives,
okay. Before I get my rating real quick... I do have to apologize to you and our listeners/viewers. Last week, I robbed you because I got mixed up with the points that you were saying or whatnot, and I told you that you couldn't give the final scene so many because you already were exceeding 5. I was off count. You could have actually given it what you wanted to. But in the end, your score would still have ended up being 4.5. We discussed this offline, so the rating remains the same still, obviously. But I just wanted a little housekeeping. You know, I ain't doing housekeeping, but I messed up, so I'm apologizing for that.
Hashtag clear the air.
I like it. All right. So now it's my turn. Okay. Now back to what I... No, I'm waiting till after I get my rating. That's right. Okay. So we're going to go with dialogue. Dialogue in this movie, to me, was fucking outstanding. I would give it more points than this, but I have points reserved for other things, so I'm sticking with just a 1. It's getting a solid 1 for dialogue. It deserves more. It's getting a 1 for acting. No, sorry, no. It's getting a 2 for acting, because, like you, I think it was great, but unlike you, I think it was phenomenal. I'm going to go back to what we said, the lead actors. The other actors, they did their job, they're fine. So I'm just talking about the 3 most important characters in this movie, which would be Clarice, Dr. Lecter, and Buffalo Bill. I think all 3 of them, as we already stated, could not have been played by any other person. Maybe someone else could have played Clarice, but I'm good with Jodie Foster. Hannibal Lecter and Buffalo Bill were outstanding characters, played by outstanding actors, so they are getting a 2. We're taking a picture? Okay. acting is getting a 2 from me. So now we're up to 3. 1 for dialogue, 2 for acting. I love gore. You're right. This probably was a little ahead of its time. And going back to my favorite scene where he's just basking in the blood dripping from his face and down on his all-white, pure white suit. Or not suit, but uniform. I think that was just essential that scene was part of it. And the gore just is amazing. It's a 1. So it's... We got 1 for acting, 1 for dialogue, 2 for acting, and 1 for gore. So I'm currently at a total of 4. I'm going to give it another full point. And again, I would give it more, but we're not breaking the Richter scale. But I'm giving it another full point for how you said it, storyline, plot, premise, however you want to put it. It is a one-of-a-kind originator, none other like it. And if they are, they just don't matter because this one blows them out of the water. Silence of the Lambs is getting a perfect fucking score of 5. Bloody ass. Licked the blood off. Stabbed the motherfucker again. Dripping with blood knives. Okay, now, with that said, you gave it a 5 too, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just make sure I didn't hear wrong. So that's 10. We get perfect score, Silence of the Lambs. Now, as I was starting to say, and then I realized, wait, I'm going to save this for after the rating. Number 2 on my top 10 psychological horrors. It's number 5 on your top 10. Neither of us put it on our top 10 horror of all time. After watching this last night, I am switching it to number 1 on my psychological thrillers. So it's no longer 2, it's number 1, which puts Shining at number 2 now. We're not going to redo the top 10 list or whatever. I'm just stating this in my personal opinion. The number 1 top 10 psychological thriller of all time is Silence of the Lambs. I am also going to take that a step further. I left it off of my top 10 of all time. I'm bumping my number 10 of all time, which was a 3-way tie with The Shining, Scream, and Poltergeist, if you remember. That's completely knocked off the top 10 list. And I am going to put Silence of the Lambs at my number 2 spot on top 10 of all time. So it's bumping 13 Ghosts down 1, and it's going right between House of 1,000 Corpses, Silence of the Lambs, 13 Ghosts. I didn't remember how much I loved this movie, but after watching it last night, this is an amazing movie. And like you said, for its time, 1991, that's a long-ass time ago. There's been several fucking years to top this movie, and in my opinion, the only one that's done it is House of 1,000 Corpses. But
I honestly say, for anyone that hasn't ever seen this movie, if you're listening to our review, watch the movie.
Yes.
If you have seen the movie and you're listening to our review, watch it again.
Yes.
Because they're like, this is something like, so I've watched this movie so many times, but it's been a long time since I've watched it.
Yes. Same.
And watching it last night, I was like, man, this movie is still good.
Yeah, it's holding the test of time. Yes, absolutely. And it's contributed to what we said. The storyline, the acting, the dialogue, all of it is just top echelon. It's standing the test of time. It's still, and I think 10 years from now, watch it again, I think it still will. My mom is going to love this review. Shout out, Mom. Because she loves Silence of the Lambs, so she's probably, yes, I'm proud of you, Nathan and Kyle, for liking it so much. I see why you like it, Mom.
I've seen it the first time.
And she probably is. I guarantee, I remember she had the VHS cassette of it, and I know we watched that at least once, if not multiple times. Probably shouldn't have, we were a little young, but.
Silence of the Lambs and Every Which Way But Loose are two movies I can say. I've seen because of your mom and Roger.
And Natural Born Killers. I know myself, at least. I watched that several times. Again, a movie I probably shouldn't have when I was a child. But I turned out okay, guys.
Did we? No, I'm just kidding.
Y'all be the judge.
I really do. I think people need to go back and watch this movie. I think that's one of the good things about doing these podcasts is getting to go back and watch some of these movies. Because, you know, there's some people out there that, like, you know, seen the movie, never watch a movie that I've already seen again, and there's other people that just watch stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm like the in-between, like
right.
You know, until there's a reason for me to watch it again, I don't really watch it again, but I do watch Halloween every year on Halloween, like that's just like the thing. We watch Christmas on the night, Christmas Eve, we watch The Nightmare Before Christmas on Christmas Eve, that's Brittany's thing, so.
All right. I'm with you. I'm the same. I mean, I'm gonna date ourselves again here, but there's some VHSs that I wore the tape out, like Forrest Gump. I probably watched that a zillion times, but as I've gotten older, I don't watch movies repeated. If I've already seen it, all right. I mean, there's still some that I will, like you said. So yeah.
But that's the thing. Like back then. Like, you had the VHS, that's how you watched the movie, unless it was on TV and you had to go through all the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you have Netflix, you have Disney Plus, you have Prime, you have, like, all these different streaming things where you can just binge shows or watch movies. Like, mm-hmm. You don't necessarily ever think to go back. The good thing about Netflix is they will, like, they'll say, like, newly added, and it'll be an old movie, and you're like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while.
Yeah.
Click, you know, like... I'm having some buffalo chicken and some macaroni and cheese. I need something to watch while I'm eating. So, Silence of the Lambs should be what everybody watches while they eat.
maybe
some beans and fresh canned.
I also, when I talked about our top 10 psychological thrillers, I said that I'm putting Silence of the Lambs as number 2 because it was the more well-known, I guess, out of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. Most people, when they're talking about the Hannibal series, Silence of the Lambs is like their go-to. So I'm sticking with that fact, or with that statement. However, Red Dragon was made after. It's the prequel to Silence of the Lambs, okay? And I still enjoy that movie so much because there's just so much backstory into it. I don't think it's so much of a psychological thriller as Silence of the Lambs. There's action and stuff in it, but it's just there's more backstory to it, and I enjoyed that part of it. So what I'm getting at is everyone watch Silence of the Lambs, but also go check out Red Dragon. Check out Hannibal Rising.
Yeah.
And then also the sequel to it all is Hannibal. They're all made out of order. Silence of the Lambs is the first one made, but it's technically the third movie in the 4-part series. So go check those movies out too. What are we doing next week? It's off of my list, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's what I usually tell people when they're at my house for too long and I need them to leave.
Get out!
That's right. Get the fuck out. We're going to see Get Out. This is Nathan's choice. I have not seen this movie. So I guess we're going to have to... You'll have to tune in next week. It's a couple days from now at noon. Monday at noon, check out our review for Get Out.
We will have it on time this time. I will, if I have to, I'll go watch it right the fuck now. But it's going to be an enjoyable movie for Kyle to watch for the first time. So make sure you tune into that review. It's at noon Eastern Monday. Monday, noon Eastern. Where, however, can they go to find out, if they didn't happen to listen to this, where would they go to find out what we're doing next?
Well, there's a few options you have, especially now that I've created a new social media platform for us.
Oh, yeah.
But Instagram is where we are the most active. Again, Two Bros in a Review, that's how you find us, to search us. We post cover art every time we do something. Nathan just sent me the picture of Hannibal falling over. That'll be posted here shortly. There will be some cover art for the movie where Nathan adds him and I to the cover art. So, you know, people get a good kick out of that because they're usually pretty damn funny. I did recently create us a Twitter account, so I apologize if I'm not tweeting every day like you're supposed to or whatever. It's something I'm new to. I'm not used to it. I did post about this movie, Silence of the Lambs, and I tagged Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster and hashtag podcast and everything on there. So, you know, maybe that'll get us a little bit of, you know, forward momentum. We're going into Get Out and then the next top 10 that we have for you guys.
I hope so.
But
and what is the Twitter? What is the Twitter handle? Is it also Two Bros in a Review?
It is Two Bros in a Review. So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. So on the camera or the bird, Two Bros in a Review.
Two Bros in a Review. Sweet.
There's other places that they can listen to us, but that's just how you connect with us directly.
Yeah, for the weekly information, cover art edits, like you said, and all that good stuff. But listening-wise, you can find us on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts. There's a plethora. Go ahead.
I was going to say any reputable podcast services. Like, right. You can find us on them.
Wherever you listen to music and podcasts, you should be able to find us. I haven't said it for a while, so I'll go ahead and say it now. If there is a specific podcast format that you do not, or that you listen to and we're not on, just slide into our DMs over there on the Two Bros Instagram or Twitter and let us know, hey, why don't you go over and put your stuff on I Like to Listen podcasts or whatever it's called. I don't know. And we'll do everything in our power to get us on that. But weekly, we're putting out podcasts on all of the mainstays, Spotify, Apple, Anchor, like I said. Work it on still, getting that YouTube up and going. It will be there in all of the videos that we've been doing all the podcasts we have been recording the last few weeks and so. So those will all go up as well. So please, go check us out. And then while you're on Apple Podcasts, or even if you're not, go ahead and go to that little purple antenna icon, Apple Podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. If you like us, let us know. If you don't like us, let us know, but either or, just give us a review. It helps us climb the charts and defeat that algorithm. I don't know who Al is, but I want to defeat his rhythm, so.
It's free. You can do it. Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Two Bros in a Review, Two Brothers in a Review. Find us there, you know, like, review the reviewers.
Yep. We'll start reading some reviews. We also need to figure out what what do we want to call it?
Top 10?
No. Well, we need to do that too. But no, for for the viewers, incentive. Like, or not incentive, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. Like, we did the whole reach 100 followers, and then we did the hot sauce eating thing. We need to figure out something. Let us know if you got some suggestions, what you'd like to see or hear us doing while we're doing these podcasts, and we'll knock our heads together and figure it out. I know a couple
guys. I say when we get to 150 followers, we will, you know, I'll go through and I'll write down every follower's name on a piece of paper and number it 1 through 150, and then I'll go, you know, live on Instagram and say, "Hey Siri, randomize a number 1 through 150, and whatever number she picks, that person wins a T-shirt or, you know, some kind of single run Two Rows in a Review memorabilia from your wife's design."
Oh, Richelieu. Yeah, we're not to that part. I'll go ahead and plug it now. Richelieu Designs, absolutely. She will be the one making the merch. The merch that he speaks of, since he wants to, you said 150, mm-hmm. And it's 2021. Let's not write things down and use Siri. We've got programs like Excel and other things to do things like that. So we'll take care of that though, Kyle. Don't worry.
No, Siri will pick a number 1 through 150 for you.
I know, but I'm saying you don't have to write it all down. I can type it into the Excel or something.
When I say write down,
I'm just picking on you.
That's what I mean.
I was just picking on you. This is the kind of relationship we have, guys. But Richelieu, absolutely. Richelieu will be doing the designs and the merch that we put out. And if we're going to do a giveaway like the 150 follower giveaway, maybe something like the shirt that Kyle's wearing. If you don't know what shirt he's wearing, you probably should check us out on our YouTube page, Two Brothers in Review. Nothing posted yet, but it will be. He's wearing the Trope There It Is shirt, so that could be something that is given away to our followers on Instagram. So yeah, do that. I was going to say before you brought that up, though, there are two people that I could reach out to and see if they have any ideas, because they've been doing things like this for quite some time now. They got their own little podcast over there on YouTube called the TRG Network. Those random guys, they're also on audio format if you listen to it audio. But our brother and brother from another mother, Corey and Tommy, Florida, putting out content on their YouTube. Like I said earlier in our podcast, Corey is going to be up here in December when Kyle is away, unfortunately. So me and Corey might get together and try to do something for the Two Brothers podcast, since we are brothers. It still counts, right? You're okay with that, right, Kyle?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. And if Tommy comes, which I hope he does, he'll be included also. But my point is, go check out their YouTube page, TRG Network. Those random guys. Check them out on Spotify, Apple Podcast, you know. What you got?
I would definitely check them out. Sorry, I'm trying to make the post on Instagram for them as well. Definitely. Check out TRG Network, those random guys. And while you are still on YouTube checking them out, slide on over and check me out, KW Snow. My trip is actually, like, I guess it's the first now, so it's 16 days away.
Same day Corey lands.
Same day Corey lands. Imagine that. Guess he doesn't listen to the podcast, because he would have known that I was leaving. But, I'll be in West Virginia. We're going to be filming the entire time, doing some snowboarding and some other fun stuff. I'm going to make videos on that. And then throughout the whole winter season, we'll be making videos. We're going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming in March. So that'll probably be the last trip of the year. So you'll have from now until like mid-March to see some snowboarding videos. And yeah, it's going to be fun. So I definitely, if I were you guys, I would check it out. And then I want to slide over to...
Oh, yeah, I'll take it from there. Stay on YouTube after you subscribe to TRG Network. Subscribe to KW Snow. Check out all the content they're offering. Go ahead and type in High Society Productions. Click on my beautiful picture, my goofy-ass face. Subscribe to my channel if you haven't already. Check out my content. Right now, I'm not putting anything, but I will be here again soon. However, there's a bunch of stuff already on there. Check my backlog. Check it out. And also I have my other stuff I got going on connected. High Society Productions gameplay. You can go check out some of the live streams I've done there and other gaming that we do. Me and Kyle both have Twitch accounts. His Twitch isn't going just yet, but mine is High Society. What is my Twitch account called? Why did I just draw a blank?
twitch.tv/HSP gameplay.
HSP gameplay, yeah. High Society Productions gameplay on YouTube, HSP gameplay on the Twitch. So check us out. I don't have a schedule just yet. I'm actually going to tweak it a little bit, but I'll be live streaming a lot because we play Sea of Thieves an awful lot. And I would love for people... Huh?
I said, and the new season is December 2nd, so there's going to be a lot of streaming for HSP gameplay and Chef BoyRC. That is me, your boy, Kyle. I'm out here cooking up in the kitchen and slaying skellies. So, but yeah, definitely get on to Twitch. Give us a follow. You can add us as a friend. Nathan still hasn't added me back. I don't know why, but we'll talk about it off air.
I'm new to the Twitch, man. I don't understand it. I'm learning. We'd love for you guys to join in to the chat, so we have some people to interact with while we're playing. Same thing goes for our podcast on the Twitter and Instagram. Just slide over there. It's all free. Everything we're asking you to do, I know it's like we're piling on, asking you to do a lot of things, but everything we're asking you to do is free. If you want to support us financially, you just buy merch, but we're not even pushing merch right now. We're pushing the free stuff, guys. Come on, just free. Do it. Please.
But if, I mean, fuck it. If you guys want to buy some Two Bros and Review merch, send us a message in a DM and we can get something figured out for you. You know, like, if you want to pay.
Yeah. If you don't even have to message us, you can go on Facebook and search Rich Chili Designs and message my wife Erica directly. Say, hey, I want some Two Brothers merch, and she'll get something done for you. So we've got some on the way, but.
Yeah, it won't be one of a kind, because if she makes something for somebody, we're getting some too.
True story.
I'm getting merch. Nate might be getting something else out of the deal, you know. But yeah, Two Bros in Review on Instagram and Twitter, Two Brothers in Review on Apple Podcasts and Anchor FM, TRG Network, KW Snow, High Society Productions, and High Society Productions on YouTube. You know, give us a follow,
subscribe, like,
retweet our stuff, you know, whatever you want to do. It's free. Once we get to 150 followers, we're going to find randomize and get somebody a piece of product that they didn't know that they wanted.
Yeah. Every little bit helps. Please support us. We're doing this for you. I mean, we're doing it for us also, but we're doing it for you. So just support us, please.
It is fun.
Oh yeah,
it would be a lot more fun if we had some interaction from you guys.
100.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind talking to Nathan, but I'd rather talk to somebody else every once in a while.
Well, I don't know about you, but my electricity bill is skyrocketing right now from all these plugs. So I think it's time to wrap it up. You got anything else?
That is all that I have for you and the listeners and the viewers.
That's all I've got as well.
All right, I'm Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother, Nathan Webb.
And you just listened to our podcast.
Two Brothers and a Review.
There you go. You heard it first. Trope, there it is. Final Girl, Chekhov's Gun, Death by Sex.
I just wanted to end in an awkward silence now.
<Bruh. laughs>